This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Not only protesters walking now, but they have several cars. It's now just sort of a merry caravan. That it has been entirely peaceful. Bottle thrown, which is not uncommon. So there is some of that, but for the most part, they have been very, very peaceful.
See, they are peaceful.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I wouldn't discount that there were some folks who are here for the cause of mischief.
Some segment hijacked this. A lot of the things that we're seeing are white males, you know, dressed in the anarchist Antifa.
This is being driven by Antifa. They're militants who are coming in and burning our cities, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
If you see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there after the Cheesecake Factory was looted, unclear where they may have gotten that.
Oh, somebody gave me this.
Somebody gave you that. Somebody gave that woman that.
I'm protecting my business, and they've robbed us after us being closed for 3 months. This is not right. We can't even pay rent.
This is going to get Trump reelected. Please stop. Think first, please. Santa Monica, we don't want Trump reelected.
Unchained and unstoppable.
These people did this for no reason. It's not going to bring George back here.
We're on our own. There is no central government at this point.
If the governor and the mayor are not going to take care of this problem, people will. People will uprise over this.
You have to get much tougher. You have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over and look like a bunch of jerks.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us today, the toll-free number is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I hope you're safe wherever you are, and I'm not talking about the panic of 2020. I'm talking about the rioting of 2020, the insurrection in assorted, basically blue cities, abated by mismanagement of the jurisdictions of the governments, of the police departments. It's terrible. It's largely could have been prevented, I think, by a more robust response in the early going in many of these cities. I think President Trump was absolutely correct to tell these governors today that if they don't act with force, they're going to look like jerks, as he put it. Jerks. That's the perfect word for it. And they're saying that he sounded like he was unhinged. He didn't sound unhinged to me. He sounded like a leader who was dressing down people who were just trying to virtue signal. That's all these people appear to be capable of doing. They don't have any backbone. They lack the spine to stand up to these thugs out in the street. 844-500-4242. Some of the responses are just unbelievable. We were talking about that. A rioter hit a police officer in New York City, sucker punched a woman with a piece of iron pipe, and so her partner pulled a gun, and now the partner who pulled a gun to defend his partner from being beaten to death by one of these thugs is now suspended. What kind of support is that to offer to your police department? A Minneapolis TV station texted out or tweeted out a list of safety tips that were issued by the city of Minneapolis. This is the city where the killing of George Floyd took place, and where the where the mayor is as much of a dithering idiot as even Bill de Blasio in New York City. The city's suggestions include, according to the TV station, consider and think about this. You're a law-abiding citizen, a taxpayer, and roving bands of lawless thugs are roaming the streets. And this is what the city tells you your response should be. Consider wetting down the inside contents of any dumpsters that you have if they have to be left outside in view. Have an escape plan and a to-go bag, parentheses, remember to take along any medicines you may need, close parentheses. Have garden hoses ready and untangled for possible use. In other words, your home or your garage or any property you own could be set on fire at any moment, and you're on your own. The city of Minneapolis, to which you've been paying taxes for low on through these many years, is not going to be behind you. They're going to be standing by and let the thugs do what they will. Check your floodlights, door lights, keep them on. And again, another arson tip. Soak down wood fences and furnitures. If you have a fire extinguisher, get it ready. Burn, baby, burn. That's what they used to say in the 60s. Lord. 844-500-4242. Here's a great column in Breitbart this afternoon. Great. We're not doing Grace's news today. This is we're just going to stick with the riots, the ongoing breakdown in the law and order. And oh, by the way, David Rodham Gergen, as Rush Limbaugh calls him, he was on CNN on Saturday, and he said that it was nuts for the Attorney General of the United States to mention law and order. Law and order is a dog whistle, according to David Rodham Gergen, an alleged Republican. He's a Republican like Colin Powell is a Republican, or Mitt Romney or Jeff Flake is a Republican. But anyway, this is A.W.R. Hawkins, and he's a writer on firearms for Breitbart. As televisions and computers showed a fourth day of protesters turned rioters Saturday, looting and destroying property, it was readily apparent why Americans own 16 million plus AR-15s. The AR-15 is the most popular rifle platform in America. AR-15s are owned by black people and white people and by all skin colors in between. And there are way more than a couple of hundred in circulation, as the media would have you believe. And wasn't it great to see the people, the black owners of stores in Minneapolis, just with the AR-15s outside their stores? So when Joe Biden and other Democrats demonize AR-15s as assault weapons and campaign on taking them away from the American people, or at least ending their sales, remember the feelings you have right now, the feelings of wanting a tool you can keep in your house to protect your family in times of civil violence and unrest like this. And also remembers those black business owners and that pregnant Florida woman who saved her husband's life with an AR-15. 844-500-4242. Or as Kurt Schlichter, one of our columnist friends, said, give up your guns because the Democrats will totally protect you. Yes, they will. Just look how well they're protecting people in Minneapolis and New York and Boston. After all, he says, I've been reliably informed by our smart and competent elite betters that I don't need firearms because the police will protect me. And I'm sure that even though they can't defend their own police station in Minneapolis, they will absolutely defend me, my family, and our pet unicorn, Chet. I've also been reliably informed that these same police are evil monsters of racism and badness, and that they should be the only ones with guns because of reasons that I'm not clear on. We have a leftist elite that believes the First Amendment does not apply to us. Our free speech rights don't extend to hurt their feelings. And our religious rights are subordinated to performative paranoia over an overhyped virus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. We're going to take your calls when we come back. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to talk with Joe DeGenova. There's more breaking news in Spygate. Very big development regarding one of the leading crooks in the FBI. He was fired, basically, on Friday, just as the riots began to break out. I'm not suggesting there was a conspiracy, but it certainly was very convenient to keep it off the front pages. We'll be talking with Joe DeGenova about that. We have so much more planned here. Stick with us, 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
We're usually based in Boston, and we're obviously very interested in the people who were arrested last night and the rioting that was going on. And we've coming up, one of them is a 27-year-old, a graduate of Brown University. That's an Ivy League school. You know, very politically correct. And we have a guy who, the guy who was shooting at the cops, allegedly, on Tremont Street, he was apparently charged 10 years ago with beating his pit bull dog down in Braintree. And now we've just discovered that another arrestee is a 20-year-old young woman who graduated from Newton Country Day School of the Sacred Heart. That's a very elite Catholic girls' school in Newton. The tuition's over $40,000 a year. My kids looked at that school and I said, and I looked at the tuition bill and where they got into college, and I said, I don't think so. I think you're better off at Wellesley High School, public high school. And now I'm gladder than ever now that I see that the name is on the sheet. All right. Today's poll question is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Charlie Parker has spoken, and now you need a face covering. So get a comfortable one at HowieCarrShow.com. When you click on the Boomer Naturals banner, you can save 20% with code word HowieCarr20. HowieCarr20. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What should the rioters be called? Peaceful protesters, looters, or terrorists?
I know it's a minority view, but I'm going with looters.
That's the most minority view right now. 21% say looters, 49% say terrorists, and 30% say peaceful protesters.
They're just trying to yank my chain and your chain and Grace's chain, Taylor, I think. The peaceful protesters. Although, I think if you Googled peaceful protesters now, you'd probably get about 1 million hits just in the last 48 hours. You'll notice, too, wherever they happen, across the country, across the fruited plain, as Rush would say, the protests began peacefully, but then suddenly became violent. As soon as the sun went down and they were able to start looting. Here's another text I just got. And by the way, if you know some of these other people who were arrested and can give us some details on them, we'd love it. Just go to text Howie to 63566 and you can join. Text Howie to 63566. So the guy says, I was just in Boston. While all the stores are frantically boarding up for tonight, groups of thugs are hanging around on the Boston Common waiting for sunset. See, Boston Common is right across from Downtown Crossing, where most of the looting went on, and then it spread into the Back Bay later on. Copley Place, a big affluent mall, and Tremont Street is where the cops were shot at by the guy who beat his pit bull. These are the social justice warriors. They're only interested in social justice. You know, they're only interested in celebrating diversity. Now, it has nothing to do with looting or stealing stuff. A contractor I was just talking to was hired to board up the stores inside Copley. That's the mall. He said so much inside the mall is completely trashed and robbed. He also said there's no more plywood left to be bought anywhere within miles of the city. Rocco, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hi. I was there. I wanted to see for myself, make, you know, short films, and I had a camera on my mountain bike with a friend, and we took pictures. I can tell you right off the bat, I went for 6 to maybe 7 hours. There was 10 to 15% protesting, and the rest was all violence and looting. I saw people coming out of buildings with Uggs and nice $300, $500 jackets. There was $1,000 suits in the streets. It was unbelievable. I didn't see the cops do anything. The only way the cops fought back was one person threw some beer on him and he maced him. The rest, they just got bottles thrown at him, water thrown at him. It was insane. I mean, there was glass everywhere. Newberry Street, downtown crossing. The barrels were on fire throughout the commons. It was amazing. And
if it was from downtown crossing to Newberry Street to Copley Place Mall, that's a pretty big chunk of the downtown Back Bay area, isn't it? How many do you figure there were down there?
Oh, it was. They would get up in groups, and a lot of them were high school kids were coming
right
out of jewel stores with. There was boxes. Of course, there was some. Heroin addicts and junkies or whatever they do now, they had stuff. They were selling them before they even had a chance. It was something that the energy, it was a sadness. It was spray painted throughout the city, FU-12. I'm working on a picture right now with one of them. There's a cop car in front of the Beantown Pub Cafe. It's a cop car, totally demolished. It's like a trophy, a symbol of what, you know, one thing that they would have happened. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I just mentioned that girl that was from Newton Country Day. I mean, she's 20 years old. She's been out of high school for 2 years. That's one of the most elite Catholic girls' schools in Boston, and she's up there rioting with all these gangbangers. It's just, it's pathetic. And they were drifting in from Bristol County, from Fall River, New Bedford. They were coming down from Maine. They were all over. And I wonder how many of them are actually going to be arraigned. How many of them are going to be charged? That's the question. I left a message for the district attorney to call me back. And when the phone don't ring, I'll know it's Rachel Rollins. But she's got my number. I left her the message. Wanted to tell me how many are going to be are actually going to be charged. 844-500-4242. You know, I know, you know, that under the new rules in Boston and other jurisdictions throughout the country, that where these liberal George Soros type people have been elected, they say no property crimes will be prosecuted. But, you know, torching a building and looting a store, I'd say that's a little more than shoplifting. I think of shoplifting as a property crime. I don't think of ruining someone's store and tossing a Molotov cocktail into it is a victimless crime, especially when these businesses have been shut down for the last 3 months because of a panic by the local politicians. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. You know, these riots really didn't start getting going until Friday night. And it was just at about the same time as the news broke out of the swamp that one of the sleaziest of the crooked FBI agents or deep state operatives who was involved in Spygate, trying to frame Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, Donald Trump et al., had just been basically fired, forced out. Dana Boante Buente. And I'm not saying there was a connection. I'm just saying it was very fortuitous for the deep state that that suddenly the breaking news about the corruption in the deep state was suddenly overshadowed utterly by what's happened. Joining us now, as he does every Monday at this time, we're going to take a break from riot coverage, is Joe DeGenova, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Joe, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. We appreciate it. Tell us about Dana Buente.
38-year veteran of the Justice Department. He was an Obama U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia. He stayed over after the election of Donald Trump, and he was asked by Rod Rosenstein to take on a number of posts, including acting assistant attorney general for the National Security Division, which was responsible for the FISA warrants. He was acting deputy attorney general. He was acting attorney general. And then at the end of all of this, Chris Wray asked him to come over and be the general counsel of the FBI. He is one of the most, he is one of the dirtiest people around. He perpetuated the myth. He participated in it. He fought to keep the exculpatory information from General Flynn under the direction of Chris Wray. This is a fascinating thing. Chris Wray was told to remove him from office. This wasn't Chris Wray's decision. He did not want to do this. So the Bill Barr and the senior DOJ people, because Buente is going to be mentioned either literally or referred to without being named as one of the people involved in the conspiracy to obstruct justice and to frame George Papadopoulos and a number of other people. I mean, Buente's role in this is unending. He was just intent on protecting everybody who had anything to do with these warrants, and he didn't want Flynn to have access to the transcripts.
He signed one of the FISA warrants on Carter Page, correct?
He is the last person still in government to sign any of the four FISA Carter Page warrants. Yes.
So, I mean, that in itself, I mean, by that time, they very well knew that all of the information that they were using to get the warrant in the application was totally bogus, and that it was false, and that this fiction had been paid for by Hillary Clinton. And yet he still signed it under pains and penalties of perjury.
Yes. Now, ask yourself this question. This has all been known about Dana Buente for some time. Why was it just now that the department ordered him to be removed? And the answer is that John Durham has gotten to a point in his investigation and in the drafting of his indictments that people like Dana Buente are going to be mentioned. That doesn't mean he's going to be indicted, but it does mean his role is now so clear in the conspiracy that it is untenable for him to continue to serve, because he's going to be either a witness, an unindicted co-conspirator, or whatever. And so it was necessary for him be gone.
But as you know better than me, Joe, I mean, if you're not indicted, they'll just say he'll be official A or official B. And then, you know, when you or I or anyone points out, or Devin Nunes points out who it is, oh, that's not true. You people are conspiracy mongers.
That's not going to happen in this case.
He's going to be named?
That's not going to happen in this case. No, all of these unindicted co-conspirators are going to be named. They're not going to be. It's not going to be any of that, because there cannot be. And the reason for that is this is a case that involves subversion. It involves an attempt to overturn a duly elected president of the United States and to frame innocent individuals, George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Michael Flynn. This, none of these people deserves the anonymity which usually comes in a standard criminal case. This is a constitutional case of incredible historic dimension. They all need to have their names associated with this treacherous, subversive, seditious behavior.
I agree. Does this mean, I know he's got until the end of the month, June, to work. Does that mean no indictments in June, or are they going to come faster than that, do you think?
The reason he was he's out of the building. He's not going to be around. The reason they gave him until June 30th was his pension. Doesn't have anything to do with the cases.
So he gets to keep his pension. That's great. Just like all the crooked FBI agents I know in Boston. They've all got their pensions.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know what? The Dems refuse to change federal law so that people like this can lose their pensions when they subvert the Constitution. The Dems just won't do it. You know how the Dems love government pensions.
I sure do. You know, I was reading the Conservative Treehouse, and he made another point about this guy. I just want everybody to understand how sleazy this guy is. And apparently in 2016, all the way back, I think it may have even been before the election, Christopher Steele, the guy who made up the dodgy dossier, and again, a lot of it he just made up out of thin air. And So he went to this woman, Kathleen Kavalik. She was like a deputy associate assistant secretary of state. She worked for John Kerry. And so he went to her and he was briefing her, and he was just telling her all this incredible nonsense, like the Russians were running this this operation out of the Russian consulate in Miami, and she knew there was no Russian consulate in Miami, and if someone would lie about something that specific, she knew the whole thing had to be BS. And she apparently wrote a note, a memo to the FBI, and said, don't rely on this guy, it's all BS. And this guy, Bob Buente, he covered it up, according to Devin Nunes. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. He has been the one person out of all this group of people who has consistently been in the line of defense to prevent the disclosure of classified information and non-classified information and embarrassing information to the public and to Capitol Hill. He has been an evil factor in this, very close to Rod Rosenstein. He's very close to some of the old Bush people. He'd been around the DOJ for a long time. And that, of course, is the problem. There is an encrusted level of political corruption inside the Justice Department. And Barr is doing an amazing job of slowly working his way with a scythe through that place. And believe me, Dana Buente's firing, and make no mistake about it, this was a firing. He may have resigned, but it was a firing. Dana Buente's firing sent a cold shiver through the FBI building and the DOJ at the senior levels, because people know Barr is very, very serious about what he's doing. And his statement over the weekend, by the way, that they intend to use the federal law to crack down on these rioters.
Antifa.
That means there are going to be roving grand juries all over the United States.
Good. Good.
Yep.
Now, why would I know what you're going to say, but I feel like I have to ask the question. Why would Christopher Wray want a guy beside him who is that crooked? I mean, even if I were crooked and I were in that position, I think I would want my own crook in there. I mean, this guy, Buente, he sounds like he's the ultimate backstabber. Why was Wray comfortable with him?
Because Christopher Wray didn't think that Buente did anything wrong. He knew about all of this, and he kept him. Now, ask yourself this question. How does an FBI director who's trying to restore public confidence in the world's greatest law enforcement agency, paren, used to be, close paren.
Right.
How do you think keeping a guy like Buente around and then having the ignominious ending of being ordered to fire the guy that you handpicked to be general counsel? This is so embarrassing for Chris Wray. He's going to get his hair cut twice this week to look even smoother. I mean, this guy is so dumb. He is so dumb, Christopher Wray, that he actually thought that Dana Buente didn't do anything wrong. That's how dumb Christopher Wray is.
But Joe, all you would have to do would be to say, Dana, this look at this document. The Christopher Steele, the FBI knew or should have known that this guy was a congenital liar in 2016, and yet you signed one of the FISA warrant applications with information you knew was false. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I wouldn't trust a guy like that. I'd be afraid he'd screw me up.
That's just the kind of guy Chris Wray wanted around him. Christopher Wray is a very, very strange duck. When you watch him, for example, you saw the idiotic statement he issued upon the firing of Dana Puente. It was praising him for his 38 years of service, not a word about anything. This is the continuation of the slow slide into oblivion of the FBI under Christopher Wray. No ability to seize the moment, to understand the significance of an important development. Christopher Wray is so in over his head, so out of his league that he will, by the way, he's gone. Even if Trump loses the election, Trump's going to fire him before he leaves office. I mean, this guy is so bad for the FBI. Can you, and Howie, the things that you're saying about Puente that Christopher Wray purposely ignored because he believes that all these people like Mueller and Comey did the right thing. Christopher Wray believes that Comey did the right thing.
So he obviously hates
Hard
Trump.
To believe.
He hates Trump. He must.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He's part of the old George
Bush. Did he really believe that? Joe, did he really believe that Trump was a stooge of Vladimir Putin?
No. You know what? No. He didn't. What he thought was it could be true. And if you say that it could be true, you're an idiot. And
right.
He's an idiot.
I agree.
You have to remember, Chris Wray is an idiot. And just remember who his new partners are going to be when he goes back to King and Spalding. Sally Yates and Rod Rosenstein. How's that for a trinity? Those three under the same roof.
If I ever
that's
get
like,
jammed up,
like
remind
going,
me not to
like,
hire them, unless I want to get framed.
That's like going that's like going to Golgotha and looking at the crowd.
Oh, boy. Anything else going to happen? Again, I always ask you, how soon are the indictments?
Well, I'm sticking with June, but Sidney Powell, Judge Sullivan, filed his brief today, and it's pathetic. Everybody ought to go see it. It was just filed. It's like a bad joke. It's an embarrassment. It's so horrible and so just silly. It's just a silly brief, and
I got
it's a perfect setting for the forthcoming indictment.
I know the answer to this. This will be my final question for you. I want you to tell everybody. His lawyer that he hired, very weird again, a federal judge hiring a lawyer when he's not under indictment. Beth Wilkinson. Who is Beth Wilkinson married to, Joe?
David Gregory, formerly of Meet the Press, fired for being a screwball.
And now works for CNN. With that wonder,
that's
with people
right.
Like Brian Stelter, who tweeted out that the church next to the White House, the Episcopal Church, was not on fire when it was. That was just
that's
last
right.
night.
And David Gregory gets to work with David Rodham Gergen. What a combination.
Right. David Rodham Gergen, who said it was nuts for the Attorney General, Bill Barr, to come out in favor of law and order. While these riots are ripping
David
the country apart.
Poor little David. He's in that Biden group now. I think he's lost many, many, many steps.
I saw him at the Republican convention in Cleveland in 2016, and he was wandering around looking for someone to recognize him, and nobody would. I thought, and now it's 4 years later, Joe. I think you're absolutely right. He's falling into the Mueller Biden class. Joe DeGeneva, thanks for being with us and thanks for filling us in on Dana Puente's wonderful extinguished career as a bent G-man. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. I know a lot of you are skeptical out there about the fact that anything's going to be done about this deep state conspiracy against the president of the United States. It is the greatest political scandal in American history. I've noticed that even the Democrat operatives with press passes, they're not really pushing back on it that much. They're hoping Biden gets elected so they can make it go away. But they can't really argue it. There's no question about it. And I hope all these people are indicted. I'd like to see them go to prison. They deserve to go to prison. I mean, I don't know how much confidence. I've been thinking about this with, Barr saying he's going to go after Antifa. Go after him with what, though? I mean, you can't trust the FBI. The FBI isn't capable of it. The FBI is nothing but a bunch of Barney Fifes on steroids who are just haters. Barney Fife wasn't a hater. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Captain, how's it going?
Good.
Listen, I was at Southie High doing busing, okay?
Yeah.
I got out in 70s. You were up there. You know what the riots looked like back then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we outmanned the police 20-1, okay? You know what the equalizer for the cops were? They let the dogs out.
Right.
All right.
It was called the TPF, the Tactical Patrol Force. You remember the TPF, Jim.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I remember them very well. Okay? When they let them out, we ran all the way from G Street to Broadway.
Those dogs, even if you were just like minding your own business and walking by, they're a little differently trained now, shall we say? I'm Howie Carr.